It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome to Health Talk. My name's Dr. Scott Looper, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. With me today is Audrey Stack. Audrey is the clinic director of White Spruce Medical, and today we're going to be talking about what a healthy diet for your gut is. Audrey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I want to start off by talking about why this is an important topic. It turns out that having a healthy gut means that our chance of having a healthy body has just gone up immensely. If your gut goes bad, what happens is your gut bacteria go bad, and that can lead to a wide variety of problems, including arthritis. This is one of the main drivers of arthritis, is actually have inflammation from bad gut bacteria. Heart disease. And it's interesting, the research has been coming in thick and fast, showing that your chance of getting heart disease goes up if your gut bacteria is bad. Asthma. Psoriasis. Yeah, it's funny, you think psoriasis, come on, that's a skin problem. How could that relate to your guts at all? The answer is psoriasis is driven by inflammatory chemicals that are generated from the cells that live in your gut. So anyways, the list goes on and on.
Autoimmune disorders.
Which is psoriasis basically is an autoimmune disorder. And one of the most powerful ones is dementia. Your chance of getting dementia goes up if your gut bacteria have gone bad.
So is that inflammation in the brain?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Now we've had shows on Health Talk about each and every one of these topics. And we keep coming back to the importance of gut bacteria. But the thing is, we don't really spend very much time talking about how to get it fixed. Because it's, you know, people, as time goes on, the whole situation is coming into focus. And we recognize more than we ever did how important the function of our gut and the health of our ecosystem. Because you have billions, trillions of organisms that live in you. And if they are unhappy, we are all unhappy.
Right.
Right? When I grew up, the saying in my home was, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, it's the same with your gut bacteria. If they ain't happy, we ain't happy. So it behooves us to keep those gut bacteria healthy. Now, as people are listening, they're going to think, oh, geez, Dr. Loop, we're going to talk about probiotics again. Is that a thing? Because clearly that's what you do. You want to keep your gut healthy. You just take probiotics and you're good, right? Except for, I'm sorry, it doesn't really work.
Yeah, it's a great theory, right? Until you test it, but you don't actually get better.
Yeah, that's the problem. Probiotics, not to say they're not useful. They are, but they're just weak. They're weak. They don't really do as much as we'd hope.
A lot of people have taken probiotics before. You can buy them. You can buy them in the billions. You can buy them refrigerated or shelf-stable, or you can buy them at the pharmacy. You can buy them in the grocery store. They're everywhere. So after you take the probiotics and you still have your problem, now what?
Yeah, now what? Now what do I do, right? I took probiotics, and you know what? I still have heartburn. I still have psoriasis. I still can't remember where my car keys are. Right?
Well, that could be more than one thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it contributes to it for sure. It could be the main driver of dementia. Seriously, the number one thing that's contributing to dementia could, in fact, be inflammation that's coming from your gut. So how do you fix it? I mean, if probiotics don't do it, what can you possibly do? Now, let's start off by talking about what it is we're really talking about, because if we can understand it, then we can find ways to get it to work better. Okay, so number one, what is this microbiome we speak of? What it is the kit and caboodle, the whole collection of organisms that live in our gut. And there's about 1,000 different species of stuff that lives in us normally.
Now, I heard that this is the forefront of science, trying to figure out each and every one of these bugs and what they do.
You bet.
They don't know.
Yeah, they don't know.
You want a job in science?
This is
how you get hired.
Really. They're on it like white on rice. They're working super hard to figure all this stuff out. And we're doing our best to try to get as much information and collect it and then put an overlay of common sense in terms of how to fix the whole thing. Anyways, about 1,000 different species. About 50 of them are the main ones. The ones that you need to, if, as a doctor works on guts, which is what we are, then what you do is you have to run tests to figure out what this group is. Now, out of those 50, there's about 10 of them that are really key. Those 10 will give you the sense of if are things working or things not working. Now, out of those 10, there's a few players. Let me describe. Lactobacillus, for example, which is a common thing. There's lots of different strains and species of it. It's a common bacteria that's in probiotics. And it's helpful, kind of, a little bit. Not that helpful. You know, there's maybe diarrhea will tend to resolve if you look at population studies and stuff like that, but it's not super helpful for treating all these diseases we're talking about. A better bacteria to get fixed is bifidobacteria. Now, bifidobacteria lives in a different level. It turns out that the bacteria, they're stacked up on each other. They're like in a high rise. The lactobacillus tend to live on the top floor, and they're helpful mildly. The bifidobacteria tend to live in the bottom floor. They live right next to your membranes, right next to the cells that are us, right? And so they have a much greater impact on the quality of our cells because they're closer to our cells. So if you look at probiotics, the modern ones tend to have more and more of this bacillus, the bifidobacteria, and they tend to have more varieties of bifidobacteria because it works better. And one of the things that they do, again, I have to be careful not to do too much shop talk here because I'll drive everybody crazy. But bear with me as I shop talk this a little bit. One of the things that they do is they make these things called short-chain fatty acids. Well, short-chain fatty acids are the favorite thing for the cells that line the colon to eat. They live on it. That's their main source of fuel is short-chain fatty acids. So if you don't have enough bifidobacteria, or the bifidobacteria don't have enough stuff to eat, the cells that line your colon, they don't function right.
They die off, or
they become weak, stuff starts leaking in. And man, if any place in your body you don't want stuff leaking in, it's your colon. Trust me on this. That's a bad place to have.
Be like
poop.
Bits of
in your bloodstream.
Food.
This is not going to do you any favors whatsoever. So you want to keep those short chain fatty acids coming on strong, which is going to keep the cells that line your colon happy and healthy. Now we see problems with this frequently in our society. This is a common problem because of the way we eat. And this is one of the reasons why colonoscopies are so important, because you clean the colon out, you take that go lightly stuff, which is misnamed to the max.
I've heard
by
lots
the way.
Of stories. I'm yeah, a little young
not,
yet.
You do not go lightly. Anyways, you clean your colon out, all the fecal matter is eliminated, and then you can run a camera up there and take a look. And what you can find is stuff. If there's any cancer, if there's any polyps, polyps are little bumps. Well, the reason why the polyps grow is because there's irritation going on. And what the body's response to irritation and inflammation is to thicken that area up. And you know this
it
already.
It seems smart.
Yeah, yeah. People have this common sense. You're going along and you trip and you fall and you sprain your ankle. Ow, it's swollen. It hurts. There's inflammation down there. And what our body does is send cells, specialist team comes in, and they start laying down more connective tissue. And when you're all healed up, you are stronger. Better.
Yeah. Calluses form the same.
Same thing. Calluses are the same thing, where you get thicker and stronger and tougher. And that's what happens. Well, same things happen in your colon, interestingly enough. You get thicker and stronger and tougher. That the connective tissue gets laid down more, and you get a polyp. The polyps, what's generating the polyp is irritation. So anyways, I said I'd talk about some other bacteria. Here's one that you haven't heard of. Acromantia munificifolia. Acromantia turns out to be super important for the health of our gut. And the mucophilia part means that it's a bacteria that loves mucus. So if there's lots of mucus, it tends to prosper. So if you don't have enough of it, it's a clear sign that you have bad bacteria and everything's gone to hell in a handbasket in your guts. If you have too much of it, it's a clear sign that you have bad bacteria and everything's gone to hell in a handbasket in your guts. So the amount that you have can't be too little or too much. And what you would think with this one is like, wow, this is interesting. Bacteria turns out to be, it's a marker of healthy, of a healthy microbiota, well, a healthy ecosystem.
What they're looking for.
So I should take it. It should be something
no,
that
you
I
can't
take.
Have too much.
No, here's the problem. First of all, you can't get it unless you're a researcher.
Oh.
And even if you do get it, it doesn't really fix anything. And here's the reason why. Because if you're trying to grow a garden and you get the best seeds that you can, you go to the seed store and you spare no expense. You get these fabulous seeds that are the right mix, and there's everything, and they're all, you know, they're perfect. And you take them out to that lot in the back of your house where all the weeds are growing up, and you fling them out there, the chance of anything growing is not zero, but near zero.
Near zero. You might get a couple of sprouts.
Hardy sprouts coming in fighting with the weeds, but you just can't get anything to grow. What you need is the right environment. If you get the right environment, what ends up happening, you know, and I'm going to mix metaphors here a little bit. If you build it, they will come. The way to get good bacteria is to build the environment that they like. They find their own way in. It turns out you don't have to take any probiotics. What you need to do is get the environment of your gut set up, and the good bacteria will literally find their own way into you.
Soil is the same way, though. If you set up the right pH of the soil and all this and that, seeds will find their way in.
Yep, they will. And not only that, good, healthy organisms in the soil will find their way in. There's things that will literally, they'll grow up based on what the environment is. And you could speed the process up by taking probiotics. Don't think I'm against probiotics, because I'm not. My patients who are listening are going to go, yeah, but how come Dr. Looper has me on probiotics if he doesn't like them? Because I like probiotics. They're helpful, but not for the reasons that you think. Think about it for a second. If you take seeds and you throw it on barren soil, nothing grows, right? That's out of the Bible. If you take seeds and you throw it on tilled soil that's full of nutrients, bloop, there you go. You get stuff growing.
So the seeds are helpful.
The seeds are helpful.
But also yogurt.
But it's and yogurt's helpful too, unless you have a dairy thing.
Well, I mean, whatever.
So what you do is you're feeding the environment. Now, here's the main reason why probiotics are helpful. Because probiotics are fertilizer. You take probiotics, you are literally fertilizing your gut. You're making it more likely for the healthy bacteria to grow, because they like the stuff that's in healthy bacteria. It sets up an environment.
Are you saying that they're eating the bacteria?
Yeah. So a probiotic, if you didn't know this, let me tell you, a probiotic are bacteria.
Yeah.
They're bacteria in a capsule.
Which
they're
is why you got to keep those little things alive. You keep those in the fridge.
Yeah, no, not really. that's a common misunderstanding. You think they have to be alive, otherwise they're useless and you're just wasting your money. No, turns out you're not. If they're dead, they're fertilizer. If they're alive, they're fertilizer. They're the same.
Yeah, all right.
Now, this is not just Dr. Looper's opinion. This is, again, everything I'm talking about is right out of the research. What they did is they took dead probiotics, they gave them to people, and then they followed their symptoms, their IBS, their Crohn's, their heartburn, whatever they were checking, right? And what they found is the symptoms got better with dead bacteria. And so they were really investigating because they know that bacteria that goes through your stomach, 99.9% of them getting killed by your stomach acid. Why the heck are they helping? And it turns out the dead stuff helps change the environment. That is the key. It's not the seeds, it's the soil. The soil is key. Now, so this is the setup for our conversation on what the best diet is to help build up your healthy microbiome.
Wait. Let me guess. Fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, bingo. Right.
Okay.
We kind of knew that coming in, didn't we?
You can go to the details, though. All right.
We did. No, the real answer is the stuff that you should be eating is the stuff that sets up a healthy environment in your gut. That's the answer. What is that? Well, it's mostly fruits and vegetables. Now, here's why. It turns out that the beneficial bacteria, in fact, all the bacteria, live on our leftovers. They live on what we don't digest and absorb. Now, the healthy bacteria live on the leftovers that we all have, which is fiber, predominantly. And the fiber has different flavors, and there's different fiber from different kind of things, and there's subtle differences between them. But generally, the big thing is fiber, soluble fiber is what they live on. Now, the bad bacteria tend to live on other stuff. Now, what other stuff? What are we eating? We're eating sugar. We're eating carbohydrates. Sugar's being a carbohydrate. Yeah, we're eating protein. We're eating fats. We're eating fiber. That's it. That covers all the bases. Those are the biggies. So if fiber feeds our healthy bacteria, so a diet that's high in fiber is going to create the right environment that the bacteria need, and they're going to prosper, and they're going to make short-chain fatty acids, and everything's hunky-dory. If you eat lots and lots of protein and you don't digest it, that's the key. If you don't digest it, there's leftovers. And that protein will go bad more than anything. Anything you can eat, the one that's going to throw you off the most, that's going to cause the most problems, the most inflammation, the most everything bad, is undigested protein.
So undigested, as protein digests, it smells really bad.
Oh, yeah. We recognize the smell of undigested.
Rotting fish.
It smells like. Yeah. So it turns out that rot thing will literally take place in your gut. It will, in fact, rot. And having rotten meat in your
gut.
That
sounds bad.
It is. Not only does it sound bad, it feels bad. It makes you feel toxic. It makes you makes you hurt. Makes your joints hurt. It makes your heart struggle. Makes your brain get fried. A bunch of bad stuff happens. And it's, if you do it once or twice, it's like, meh. But you do it as a regular thing, it really could eat at you. And the scientists have gone through and they've identified these breakdown products of incomplete protein digestion. And they've given them names. One of them is called putrescine. The other one comes to mind is called cadaverine. These are ugly.
Yeah.
You know they're bad.
So, but does everybody digest protein the same? No.
No.
They must not.
We don't. You know, it depends on how good your digestion is. If you're making a lot of stomach acid and you're making strong digestive enzymes, you could eat shoes, chop them up in little bits and digest them, right? That's what alligators could do. They can eat, you know, leather you make belts out of, and they can break it down and get the calories out of it. Now, people literally can't eat shoes.
No.
It doesn't work. But if you can eat stuff that, if you are a 22-year-old fit male, chances of you being able to digest stuff is really good. So those are the guys that are the least likely to have problems with their guts. If you're an 82-year-old slender female, the chance of you not digesting your food is basically 100%. There's going to be stuff, unless you're real careful about what you eat, you're not going to be able to digest. As we get older, our digestive fire dims. We don't make as much digestive enzymes.
You can buy them.
You can buy them. And sometimes people do. One of the things that's fairly common in our practice is we'll put people on digestive enzymes. You know that. And people with weak digestion will do the assist. But think about it for a second. Turns out there's easier ways to do it. First of all, I hate pills. Can we do this without pills? I'd love it if we did it without pills. So if we can do without pills, that's the A list. If we have to do pills, then we're pulling the stops out.
Yeah, pulling stops out, yeah.
So if you want to digest your protein completely, it's not that hard to figure out how to do this. If the protein is hard to digest, that is if it won't rot, that is if you put it on the counter and it doesn't go bad.
Heavily salted meat.
Yeah, or dried meat, or preserved meat, right? If you take beef jerky and stick it on the counter.
No, it's fine.
It'll eventually go bad. In a month or two, it'll start to mold, but it takes a long time.
Yeah, long
Whereas
time.
If you think of the thing that digests the easiest.
Fish.
That's it, fish.
Goes bad in a day.
Raw meat. Eggs out of the shell. You put those out and leave them in a little dish, you know, in about a half a day, they start getting cloudy.
Yeah.
And another day, or maybe in a day and a half, they're stinking the whole house up. You can't come home anymore because they're rotten. So those are the things that will go, that will digest the easiest. And so when you eat them, they're the easiest to break down. You're more likely to break them down 100%, absorb all the nutrients out of them, and you're good. Your digestive system's running clean. Now, the other thing is, fish is easy to digest, so it's one of the better things to eat. Like salmon's fabulous, one of the best proteins you can get. But if you eat, you know, a half pound of salmon or 4 ounces of salmon or something like that, it's not overloading the system too much. You eat 3 pounds of salmon, forget it. The chance of you getting through that is zero. It's too much meat, and it'll go bad in your gut, and you're going to feel toxic and bad. Common sense here. So what you want to do is you want to keep your protein sources easy to digest. That is, if you leave them out, they'll rot. So turns out pepperoni is not a good choice.
Yeah, it doesn't really go bad. Kind of keep it in the fridge if you're feeling like
Maybe if you're feeling like it. So the stuff that the food that will rot easily. Okay, let me just keep it simple. If it's rotten, throw it out, right? If it won't rot, throw it out. Right. Either way, you're going to be better. All right, we got to take a break here. We're going to bust this up a little bit. Come back with more Health Talk here in a moment.
Don't give up. Good health is possible. We'll be back with more Health Talk.
When your guts go bad, your life goes bad. Whether it's diarrhea, constipation, heartburn, or cramping, any of them can take the joy out of life. I'm Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director at White Spruce Medical. Our team fixes GI problems at the root.
White Spruce Medical, located in the Steese Medical Center in Fairbanks. We bill insurance.
White Spruce Medical, it's time to get your life back.
When you have an opinion.
In my opinion, do you have a new opinion or do you have the same opinion you had before?
A question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guest on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh yeah, you guys think you know.
You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more Health Talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
So welcome back to Health Talk. I'm here with Audrey Steck. We're talking about the best diet to keep your gut bacteria happy. And we talked about probiotics and how they're helpful, but they're not the most important thing. It turns out the environment that the bacteria live in is by far the most important thing. And the key to keeping that environment healthy is to not overeat stuff that's hard to digest in particular. We talked about proteins. We started with proteins because they're the most impactful to create a toxic environment if you don't digest them. And they're necessary for health. We can't live without protein. I mean, we are protein. We from head to toe, we're mostly what we are is protein.
Right.
You know, if a bear saw us, they'd think, yum, right? Because they like protein. So the other thing to consider is the other stuff in food, carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are those things that are in grains. They're sugars naturally occurring in fruit. They're also sugars that have been concentrated out of various kinds of foods and turned into
syrup.
Glazes, candy, stuff like that, right? So we're concentrated carbohydrates. So if you overload on carbohydrates and you can't absorb them, they're easy to break down, especially sugars are easy to get in your bloodstream. They'll wreak havoc in other ways. So oddly enough, sugar tends not to be the real problem, but complex carbohydrates, even though they're better for our blood sugars, are harder to digest. And if we overload on complex carbohydrates, what'll happen is those carbohydrates, wait, before I tell you what'll happen, let's just think about it for a second. If we take carbohydrates, some grain, we mash it up, we chew it and mash
like
it, right?
Like oatmeal?
Yeah, like oatmeal. And then we stick it in a bowl or a bottle on the counter. What happens to it?
It'll go bad.
Yeah, in a very, very particular way. What it'll do is it'll foam.
Oh, yeah.
And bubble. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's turning into beer.
Yeah. And it'll explode if you put a lid on it.
If you put a lid on it, you're going to blow it up. You blow your kitchen up is what you'll do. So it'll foam. Now think about some of our listeners. Have you ever had that feeling like stuff was coming up? Like you get heartburn and oop, there
pressure.
It is. Gases are coming up and I feel like foam is bubbling up in my throat. Yeah, that's carbohydrates. So what's driving heartburn is not tomatoes, it's fermentation.
So if you add beer to that.
It will make it worse.
It gets worse. All right.
You can't cure heartburn with beer. It's a bad idea. And worse is to take unfermented beer, that is grains, and then eat lots of grains. Call that toast. Bagel even more so. Pound down a couple of bagels if you have heartburn. Woo, you're going to have trouble, especially if you do it 2 days in a row. That'll do it. Especially if you add some fat to it.
Like cream cheese?
Or cream cheese will work. Regular cheese will work. And what the fat does is it relaxes that little sphincter at the top of your stomach, because that's what fat does. And now it opens up, and whatever the bubbles that come up can bloop, 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 come up. And those bubbles, if they go through your stomach, they're going to be spicy.
Especially if you eat anything spicy.
If you eat anything spicy, they're going to be doubly spicy. So this is the trouble with pizza. It's a combination of cheese, spice, and bread. Mm. And it's the bread that's driving the party. Bread is making the bubbles. The cheese and the spice, the cheese is just opening up the sphincters, and the spice is just giving a little zip to it.
Well, right? Pizza is famous for being the worst heartburn food.
Yeah, it is, for good reason. So if you overeat carbohydrates, chances you getting heartburn, chances you getting fermentation goes up. Now, last thing we're going to talk about here is fat. You may think, oh, God, fats are horrible. They're going to be the worst thing ever. No, turns out they're not. Fats are harder to digest. I mean, think about fats. You have olive oil. You keep it in a bottle on the shelf in your kitchen, and it doesn't go bad. Now, eventually, it'll go bad or it'll go rancid.
It can go rancid,
yeah. It can in a long time. It tends to be shelf-stable.
Couple years.
So shelf-stable stuff tends not to go bad in your gut. What'll happen is if you start chugging, if you pour yourself a glass of olive oil and then drink it down, a tumbler, what'll happen is you're going to get diarrhea because your body can't absorb it. It can't break it down enough to get it in, so it's left in your poop. And it is a fabulous lubricant. It'll lubricate your stools. Can we say this on the radio?
Yeah, I think we're crossing the line here. With this here. It's fine. We just won't do that.
Yeah, it's not pretty, so I don't recommend you doing that. Common sense would dictate you wouldn't do that. So fats can be a problem, but we tend not to overdo fats like that. What we overeat is protein and carbohydrates, and usually in combination.
Now, what about sour cream? That's fat, right?
Sour cream is fat. Sour cream is partially broken down. Notice the word sour. It's been soured. The reason why it's been soured, it's partially fermented.
Partially spoiled, yeah.
Fermented food is partially broken down, makes it easier to digest. Turns out to be a health aid.
Oh, this is good. Because if I'm going to overeat anything, it's going to be sour cream.
Well, I like fermented foods. I like sauerkraut. I like pickles. I like things like that, which are relatively easy to eat. Now, pickles tend to have a lot of salt in them. Sauerkraut does too, if you do it correctly. They're naturally salty, so you can too much can still be too
well,
much.
Well, you can argue too much anything.
But they're easily digestible, and they tend to be beneficial for our gut bacteria. But the best things, you already said this, the number one, two, three, and 15 items for your gut are all fruits and vegetables because they have the fiber. Remember, the fiber is what's driving this whole healthy environment.
Right. Now, if you take the fiber out, like say you juice it and you throw away the pulp.
Yeah, interesting. What you'll do is you'll get the sugars, you'll get the nutrients, you'll get the vitamins, you'll get the minerals, but you won't get the pulp. You won't get the fiber. So what'll happen is you'll get a lot of nutrients for you, but your gut won't. So it's not good for you. Turns out to be bad for you.
So if you want to spike your blood sugar, you can do it.
Absolutely. If you drink a glass of apple juice, your blood sugars are going to go skyrocketing high. You eat an apple, and they kind of boat slightly up gently, and they boat slightly down gently.
Why is that?
Because the fiber slows down the absorption of the sugar. Your body has to break down the fiber to get the sugar out of it, and so it slows the whole process of letting your blood sugars come up, so it makes it easier for you to manage your blood sugar. Your body has to release less insulin, there's less wear and tear on the system, the whole system runs better, and your gut bacteria do well. So if you want to keep the doctor away, you take an apple and you throw it at them vigorously, and the doctors will run.
Yeah, I feel like maybe that joke didn't quite land. Yeah, like there's a better way to tell it.
I try and I fail, and that's not my strong suit. This is not a comedy show. Audrey, thank you for being
here.
You're
welcome.
Very few people can keep up with me the way you do, and I appreciate that. So thank you again. I want to let everybody know that this has been Health Talk, and I am your host, Dr. Scott Looper, medical director of White Spruce Medical, located at the Steese Medical Center right here in Fairbanks, where we treat gastrointestinal diseases. Can you tell from our conversation?
Yeah.
Such as diarrhea, constipation, gastritis. And by the way, we could lengthen that list to every disease known to man practically, because we just made the connection here between inflammation and dementia.
Inside joke with naturopaths.
Is that we treat guts, right? Anyways, I want everybody to stay safe, stay healthy, and stay in touch.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.